We're not talking about Yasmine Bleeth. I've seen the pictures. I don't care. I'm not here for it. They don't pay me to do that. They pay me to do this. We're talking football. I'm joined right now by a friend of the program, a senior NFL reporter for Yahoo, co-host of the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast. He is Charles Robinson. Charles, brother, what's up? How are you?
I don't even want to know what Yasmine Bleeth photos are out there. I need to work the rest of the day, so whatever
good.
That is.
Yeah, you can't unsee it. See, they almost got me. I almost got hooked. I almost said you can't unsee what you've seen, but I'm not going to say that, and I just don't care. It's neither here nor there. You're right. You're fine. All right, so that's not one of the big topics, but there are two big topics I want to hit you with today. That's not one of them. Potential expansion of the regular season and postseason, and Greg Robinson. Now, normally I would start with the expansion of the regular season and the playoffs, but as somebody who has been around this league for a long, long time, what is your reaction when you hear that Robinson was detained in Texas with allegedly 157 pounds of marijuana in his SUV?
Just a smidge of weed,
right?
In his SUV. We're still not to, you know, some of the levels that I think we've seen in the past. I mean, there are some former Dallas Cowboys that I think were nabbed with actually twice or triple that amount. Yeah, that does not appear to be a recreational amount of marijuana, but, you know, hey, some people like to have a stash that's never going to run out. That's not a great look for Greg Robinson. You know, this is a guy that over the expanse of his NFL career, I think the number one complaint I probably heard more often than not in all of his stops starting with the Rams was, you know, you tell him something 20 times and it just doesn't sink in. Concentration's a problem. Well, you know, now maybe we can understand why concentration might have been a problem for Greg Robinson.
Charles Robinson joining us. Well said. So when we talk about a 17-game season, of course, it's about the money. How much money, though? How much money are we possibly talking about for a 17-game season and an expanded postseason?
Well, so the way it was put to me going back to last offseason was that every one game that was added to the schedule would ultimately, once it was seen to fruition, represent about $1 billion for NFL players in the system for NFL players. Now, you know, spread over 32 teams, that's not a ton of money when you consider – you know, how that ultimately gets divided up, particularly if, you know, you're talking about roster expansion, things of that nature. And I remember I talked to Malcolm Jenkins about this last summer, and, you know, we were standing in the locker room. He said, man, look around. He said, look around this locker room. How many guys in this room are going to see that added money? He said, it's not going to be a lot of these guys. It's going to end up being the upper tier guys. The top two or three stars are going to be the guys who soak up whatever additional money is put in the system. And that's why Malcolm Jenkins, when we talked about it, he felt like an expansion of the regular season was unlikely. But look, from what I understand, we're talking about minimum salaries being raised here. We're talking about, you know, additional roster spots, which is more jobs for players, which by and large, once you get past the stars, most guys are going to be in favor of an extra game check. Most guys are going to be in favor of extra jobs out there that keep them in the NFL longer. And I know a lot of players are complaining about, you know, or well, at least you're hearing some players complain about the extra game. Two things to keep in mind. Number one, if you want leverage, you argue most vehemently against the thing your opponent wants. The NFL owners want the 17th game more than anything, so players build leverage by coming out and complaining that it goes against player safety. And then number two, what are we talking about here? The average NFL lifespan, you know, careers last 3, 4, 5 years. That's 3, 4, 5 total games in the career of most NFL players. The guys who are going to see the most games added are the guys who last 10, 12, 14 years. And most of those NFL players who last that long rarely ever play full 16-game seasons every single year, year in, year out. So I think there's a lot of complaining about this that really isn't going to amount to much once this finally gets passed. And when we're in the midst of a 17-game season, I just don't see a lot of people complaining about it.
talking to Charles Robinson, who laid that all out. You know, I was going to ask you, and I thought maybe I will anyway, what about that issue of safety? And I know you addressed it, but Richard Sherman's made the point that the league says it's all about player health, but then pushes for that 17th regular season game. He feels like it's hypocritical. Do you think it is?
I don't think it's hypocritical when you consider it's a balance. The league is trying to strike a balance here. Okay, the product, it's making a ton of money. It's pushing for this $25 billion annual revenue target down the line. And look, they're legislating more and more hits out of the game, right? More and more violence is getting legislated out of the game. Well, there are a lot of players that are hypocritical who sit there and talk about you can't hit anyone anymore, you can't do this, you can't do that, which essentially is an argument for violence. But then they turn around and say, oh, geez, now they want an extra game. How could we have an extra game? That's so against player safety. No, there's a balance that's trying to be struck here. The NFL is not trying to remove all violence out of football, but at the same time, they're trying to elongate careers, make the product more exciting on the field, and make more money. Well, you got to give something up to gain something. And, you know, I understand that adding an extra game to these careers, it's not great. It does elongate the season for some people, but that's one extra week of work. And then strike it against if there's less off-season work, less wear and tear on these players, which they want. That's a step in favor of elongating careers. There's just less grind in the off-season. You have more time to recuperate in the off-season. If you're not canceling careers because of weed, and you may even allow therapeutic use exemptions in states where it's legal for weed to be used for medicinal purposes. That's another thing that's tilting in favor of the health and safety of players. There are changes being made. I think they're just striking a balance here. And look, from the league standpoint, I'm not going to ignore that this is good for the league. I think one thing that's remarkable about this for the NFL, if you add one extra game to the regular season and you take away that number two seed, taking away that number two seed means two extra playoff games, one extra regular season game, means you literally just created, out of thin air, a 33rd NFL franchise because you've replicated 16 more regular season games, two more regular season games. Every single year you're going to have a 33rd NFL franchise in the aggregate playing a full NFL season and two playoff games. Pretty remarkable.
It is. Charles Robinson joining us. All right, so before you go, I know that you're already doing your homework for the build-up to the combine. Let me ask you about Cincinnati and Joe Burrow. Can you see a scenario in which he forces his way out of Cincinnati?
I think it's going to depend on who else maybe below Cincinnati wants Joe Burrow. Now, look, Cincinnati, the goal right now is Joe Burrow. That's who they want. They're sitting there, they're staring at Joe Burrow. They're like, we want to take Joe Burrow at number one overall. Well, once the process gets started, they're going to hear offers. I'd be stunned if Cincinnati wasn't willing to pick up the phone and listen if, hey, the Miami Dolphins want to place that call. Hey, if the Carolina Panthers want to call about Joe Burrow and moving up to number one. I think the key here for Cincinnati, whether or not they'd ever move out of that number one spot, it's going to depend on the other quarterbacks. What is, Tua Tagovailoa's medical report going to look like? What is Jordan Love going to look like when he starts to light up these workouts and people start to talk about, could this potentially be, a slightly rougher Pat Mahomes? What's it going to look like when, you get Justin Herbert stacking up another great, phase of the offseason the way he did with the Senior Bowl? I think if Cincinnati's sitting there and they go, look, we really like Jordan, we really like Joe Burrow, but all of a sudden we see a couple other quarterbacks that we think are maybe a little closer in the evaluation than we initially thought. If someone's willing to offer us a boatload of picks and move up and we can still get a quarterback who's pretty darn close to what we want in Joe Burrow, and also get all these additional picks, I think maybe that conversation becomes a little more interesting.
Charles Robinson joining us. All right, so really quickly, what about Tua, who you mentioned? Last year at this time, the thinking was Tua would have been the first pick in the draft. What's your sense as to how teams view him and his medical situation?
Tua's uneven. His evaluation, early in the process right now, and again, we're not going to see him on the field really until, I guess, April. It's really uneven when you talk to teams that are starting to look at him. Number one, he's always playing in a clean pocket most of the time. He's throwing in windows that are wide open. He's not throwing in a ton of tight windows. So his film has been difficult for a lot of teams to really sit there and get a grade on it where they feel great about it because of the surrounding pieces around him, because of the fact that he has played in so many clean situations with Alabama. And then, there's some realities about Tua. He hasn't always played his best football in big games. He's not Deshaun Watson, where every time he flipped on, a big game with Clemson, Deshaun Watson was destroying an opponent or just completely disassembling, a defense with NFL-caliber players on it. So that's a whole other component beyond just the medical that I think is going to be really tough for teams with Tua. And I'm just telling you, in the early going right now, I'm not hearing that he's a slam dunk as the second quarterback off the board in this draft. And a lot of people are saying, well, geez, Detroit's going to take him at 3. Let's wait and see. I'm telling you, Justin Herbert, Jordan Love, those are two guys that in this process I think can really make some noise and potentially elevate themselves to the number 2 quarterback off the board.
Charles, last thought. What about Herbert? There's been a rap on him in the past that he's kind of an introvert. When you talk to teams and you talk to evaluators, what kind of things do you hear about him as a leader and a personality?
I think what's interesting to me is I heard this going all the way to the Manning Passing Academy last summer, and I had a chance to spend some time with him there, and I was like, I don't get it. He seems social. He's somewhat quiet, but I didn't see this sort of, there's sort of a weird personality or he's an introvert. I was like, I just didn't see that. I mean, he's not a full-blown extrovert, but he didn't come off as weird or anything like that. And I think a lot of teams have sort of heard that in the evaluation process. How's he going to deal with, his teammates? Is he too introverted? What's going to happen when the spotlight's on him? What was interesting to me was when he went to the Senior Bowl, it was clear teams asked the Senior Bowl staff to kind of put him in positions where he would have to interact with a ton of teammates and a wide variety of different personalities and guys on his team. And then also in some of the community events, be thrust in that spotlight and deal with sort of the forward-facing public sort of situation he would have to deal with if he was the number one draft pick of or a first-round pick of an NFL franchise. And what I heard was during Senior Bowl week, he actually passed that with flying colors. He was not weird at all. He was very good in the spotlight. He handled all the community events really well. And the thing that really stuck out to me, I heard – any of his teammates, no matter what background they came from, ethnicity, it didn't matter. The full cross section, they all really enjoyed interacting with him. He talked to all these guys. I think he came out of the Senior Bowl event where people were like, this whole knock on him sort of being this introvert is not necessarily accurate.
He is a senior NFL reporter for Yahoo. He is a co-host of the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast. And as I mentioned at the top, good friend of the program, he is Charles Robinson. Charles, thank you so much. Always appreciate you and the conversation.
Absolutely. I appreciate it, Rome.
Good job, man. Good talking to you, as always.